listening to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Alfred Crane with Jonathan Moody and Joe Turkel.
Turkel, what is this, The Shining?
Shit.
Turk, but it's okay. We got it. We got it. We're here for the Hollywood Boulevard podcast.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us for the Hollywood Boulevard podcast. And I'm joined by Jonathan, Joe, and myself, Alfred. Tonight we're discussing the 1982 Richard Donner movie Megaforce, and basically it was like it was supposed to be a feel good good guy kind of like G.I. Joe, the precursor to G.I. Joe was, you know, when they had the cartoons out and like the A Team and stuff, and it was lighthearted. I mean, Richard Donner, he did I believe he was working on he did the Cannonball Run movies, he did Hal Needham. Did that?
Yeah. Wait. You said Richard Donner. I was like, wait, Richard Donner. I was like, did we watch the right movie?
No, Hal Needham. Okay, I gotta start that again. We're having a good thing. Jonathan, you can edit this together, right?
It's okay. I should just leave it in. I mean, it's all good. It's all fun, you know.
Yeah. The Joe Turkel reference is nice, though. Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna put that at the end. You know, that'll be there at the end.
Yeah, that was good. What is this, The Shining? That'd be a good way to end it.
Yeah, what is this, The Shining?
Oh, yeah, okay. The 1982 Hal Needham, the 1982 Hal Needham movie Megaforce was. I am having trouble tonight. Well, I'm having fun though.
It was, you know, honestly, I wasn't surprised by this being your pick, Alfred. This,
yes.
After, you know, having seen Spies Like Us and Running Scared, this felt like one of your kind of movies.
Yeah. And I don't know, it's just when I was a kid in high, you know, I was in elementary school living in upstate New York, and went to the Sangertown Square Theater to see it. And it was, I remember when the previews came out for it, it was like, the catchphrase was, the good guys always win, even in the 80s. He gets on top of the tank, he taps it, and Henry Silva comes back and goes, hey! My friend, and then he's like, hey, I just want to let you know, the good guys always win, even the, and me and my dad loved it. So when it came out to the theaters, we went in and saw that, and we had a great time. I mean, it was just a fun movie. My mom went to another movie. I think she just stayed in that one, but the couple she walked out of.
Did she walk out of this one, or did she go directly to another one?
She would go to other movies, and if they kind of were bad, so she would go and leave the theater. And she left the Best of the Whorehouse in Texas because it was just like so horrible.
Hey! I like that one.
Well, we were talking about that on Film Freaks, I think, for the Christmas Story episode. And I remember, Joe, you had said something about, like, your parents were letting you watch that movie or something, or not watch that movie.
No, I got into Porky's. They took me to see Porky's, but Best of the Whorehouse in Texas came out like the following year, and my mom was like, no, I've learned my lesson. I look up the movies now. And that one alone, I mean, the title alone tell you no on that. But, I mean, no, I didn't get to see that one in the theaters. We actually went and saw another movie, and they had it playing, and I peeked down the hall at it. But my mom was like, move along. Yeah. So I never got to see that one in the theaters. But I do own it now on video and love it.
The night that my mom walked out of that, my dad and I were just watching Tron. I said, you should come and watch Tron with us.
That's a contrast in films there. Best of the Whorehouse in Texas and Tron.
Yeah.
Best of the Whorehouse and Tron.
See, this is the difference between you guys and me. When I was a kid, my dad would take me to the movies, you know, to watch stuff. And we watched, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, you know, in 1989, and then, or 1990. And then, you know, he would take me to see Rookie of the Year or, you know, things like that, you know, nice. And, you know, maybe even Adam Sandler movie. But he wouldn't take me to, you know, like, we didn't go see, like, you know, I don't know if Megaforce had come out. I don't think I would have been that interested in it, though. I did sort of, because I read like a trivia of it. It did say, like, you never see anybody actually die in the movie, right. You know, or whatever. So it was a precursor to G.I. Joe, because G.I. Joe is mostly known for things like blow it up, but you never see anybody actually get
Right.
shot
Jump out
or
of the
anything.
helicopter with a parachute.
Yeah, exactly.
I was envisioning like A-Team type of stuff.
This
Because
was a
like they
year
always blew.
before A-Team, but this does feel like A-Team on crack, you
Yeah.
know.
And Hal Needham, he did like Cannonball Runs. I think he was Smokey and the Bandit, didn't he? Or was
Smoking
that
the
Needham? Oh
Bandit,
yeah,
yep.
yes,
and
yeah, that's
Hal and Cannonball Runs, those are some of my favorite movies. And he was kind of one of those, I guess he's like a one of the not so great directors, but I liked everything, most things he did. And he didn't make it like big, but he made a name for himself. And his movies are always fun.
yeah.
Well, he was a stuntman who basically turned into directing, and I know he did like six or seven films with Burt Reynolds. So,
Yeah.
didn't he break himself or something as a stuntman? That's why he had to go into doing directing or something.
Probably.
I know he had injuries, but I mean, most stunt people do. The friend of
Yeah.
mine that's in the business, he talks about some of the stuff he's had happen and stuff. But yeah, well, the stunt people, you know, that's that. I mean, they're not there to get hurt, obviously, but they're there to save the true the big dollar talent from
Yeah.
getting any scratches.
Well, speaking of big dog talent, let's get into the cast. You got Barry Bostwick, who I think by then he was in the musical Pirates of Penzance. I think when he was there, I think most people knew him from
Rocky
the
Horror.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah, Jeff Beck was in not Jeff Beck,
Michael Beck.
Michael Beck. Jeff Beck's the guitarist. Michael Beck, he was in Xanadu. I remember that.
He was also
Edward
in the
Lawhair.
Warriors, you
Yes,
know.
that's right.
And you
Warriors.
know what's so funny is like I saw him and I was like, wait a minute, come on. Because like I'm so used to him being like the serious role from the Warriors,
Yeah.
you know, and it's kind of like Barry Bostwick and him kind of switch places a little bit. And they were
Yeah.
both able to kind of goof off and
Oh.
have more fun with their characters, you know, in this one.
Yes. Yeah, they were great. And then you had Edward Mulhare from The Ghost of Mrs. Muir, the TV series. Persis Khambatta, who was in Star Trek The Motion Picture. I think she died of some kind of brain cancer early on. She only
She
made a
was in
few
some
movies.
sort of, yeah, she had like a car accident or something. She was a model.
Yeah.
But she passed away. I think she was only like less than, she was under 50. Yeah, so sad there. The one you were mentioning before that, are you talking about the one who played Michael's boss in Knight Rider?
Yes, yeah, he's the same guy. Yep.
So it's like, so yeah, there's people that you've seen in all sorts of stuff. I mean, even the pilot of the airplane, small role here, but he was a doctor on the TV show Emergency in the 70s, which I absolutely I remember that
Was an
show
early
growing up.
show, yeah. Bah,
Yeah, so.
bah, bah.
Exactly the opening for that, but yeah, so yeah, pretty good roster of talent that was in this
Evan
movie.
Kim from Kentucky Fried Movie.
Oh yeah, he was in that dude's also in like the Maverick movie, and he
Yeah.
was a doctor on Seinfeld, you know, like I mean if you look at like
And he's
these
also
guys'
played a.
credits, it's so crazy, you
He also
know.
played a Harry Callahan's partner in the Deadpool.
He actually, yeah, and I, you know, I really, so to go back to that pilot guy, I really liked him, because he was the guy that was getting into it with them and trying to say, you know, right, he was the one who was trying to tell Barry Bostwick basically to just fuck everybody and move on, you know, or whatever, and that's what made, I guess, Barry Bostwick's character so likable was that he actually cared about everybody in his platoon and his group and whatnot, and I call it a platoon, but you know, in the mega
Yeah.
force, you know, I thought that was pretty cool.
And but cast with other familiar faces from a lot of movies. And then the egg was from the Cannonball Run, and he was in a few other movies. I've seen him in other movies. Oh, that's the guy, you know, but yeah, I enjoyed the movies. Lighthearted and any other cast, and Hal Needham, of course, he's playing the command vehicle. Yeah. As like different things he's done.
So you said you saw this in the theaters, though?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, because you know how I always do when we talk about these movies and stuff like that. It's like, what was in the theaters at the time, and what
Yeah.
how to do and stuff like that. So I mean, obviously, we know this movie didn't do well in theaters. It was it opened up. It was June of 1982, and it came in ninth place when opening weekend. So
Ooh.
it was about 2.3 million it made. Thing is that same it came out the same day as two classic films that I know I absolutely love, and I believe you both do too. It came out the same day as The Thing.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Which I don't know.
Which was number yeah that was number eight at the box office that week, but that didn't do I mean that didn't obviously start out as well there. And it came out the same day as the number two movie that week, which was Blade Runner.
Well,
So I'm like, Blade Runner, the thing. I'm like,
also,
holy
from what
cow.
I understand, it also was up against Road Warrior at that time.
Yeah, I think that came out like the couple weeks after. That week, E.T. was number one, Blade Runners two, Firefox, we talked Clint Eastwood, that was
Yeah,
three.
I saw that in theaters.
Rocky three, Star Trek two,
Jesus
Annie,
Christ.
Poltergeist, and then Thing, Megaforce, and Bambi. And then Porky's and Grease 2 and Conan was a little bit further down, but they
The
were all
another
out.
variant.
And this was the year I was born, 1982, and all the
Wow.
best movies come out that year, of course.
Yes, you were like five months old.
I'm born, and like all of these movies are born, because of
Well, my
me.
mom, her, I remember we wanted to go see Rocky III, but she wanted to see Annie, and we were there. And I was like, Dad, please, no, you know, you didn't see that. And then she said, I
So
regret that to this day.
that's what she slid into. She slid into Annie.
I named
Probably.
my one of my first dogs, like the dog that I got to own, I named her Sandy after the Sandy dog in Sandy and Annie, and everything. So I loved Annie as a growing up as a child. It wasn't my favorite movie or anything. It was more to the girl side of stuff or whatever, but I really still dug it. I thought it was a great movie, and I love the dog in it. Thought the dog was adorable. So because my dog at that he was a yellow lab, she looked like sand. I said, "Why don't we name him Sand? Name her Sandy?" And it was really because in the back of my mind was, little orphan Annie.
Yeah. So, but so th lot of memorable stuff was in the theaters that summer. So this one it didn't do that well. I think it and that's why it didn't do a sequel and stuff like that. But it was like a $20 million budget, if I'm not mistaken, and it made less than 10, I think, in the U.S. 5 to 10 somewhere in that area. So the sequel there was planned to be a couple of them, but that just never happened because of how it did.
Speaking of them, my Pinewood Derby car that I built for that year was a it was a Megaforce car. I still got it. It's all painted up in the college. Maybe we'll try and dig it out in a few minutes after the show you all.
So when you saw it in the theaters, you said you didn't know a whole lot about it, or you saw previews a lot for it, or
The
what was
trailer,
how?
there's like a 30-second trailer I remember. It just showed, it just kind of gave it a little talk, and then showed some tanks fighting, and it showed him not jumping up on the tank. The good guys always win, even in the 80s. And just on that quote alone, me and my dad were like, we gotta
I
go
mean, it was just 2 years into the 80s, though.
that.
Like, what was it trying to promote? Like the fact that it was a new year?
Well, Richard, I mean, Hal Needham was talking about how he was like trying to last time of the Reagan change, because it said for a while the U.S. was a very, I don't want to go any more political than that. Let's cut that part right now. But it said that's what he said he was trying to do, and he thought he had a pulse on the nation. But anyways, enough of that because I don't want to get in contact with that. Anyways,
That's a whole different podcast for a whole different discussion.
yeah,
But
yeah. But I
well,
think he was just. I think his main intent was just to make a lighthearted, tongue-in-cheek movie. And that was a great line for something like that, you know.
Yeah. So
Well, they said that at
you
the
saw a
end.
trailer.
They said that at the end though, because he said the good guys always win in the end, even in the
Even
end
in
or whatever.
the 80s,
But no,
he
but I
said, yeah.
think at the end of the movie, he said even in the end, and then it goes the end. So if I remember correctly, that's what they said at the end, and I was like, that's a fucking great line and everything. But that they said that it was even in the 80s, that's what they said in the
Yeah.
trailer makes sense for that. They can't say in the end because they can't spoil the
Maybe
movie.
they kind of dubbed it because they wanted, because it was some kind of direct, like a Lucas film trying to go on correctly.
I don't know. That's what I saw in my. I don't know. Did you see that at the end, Joe,
I
when you watched it?
remember.
See which part?
The line at the end where he said the good guys always win in the
Yeah,
end.
I think they said this was the first time that I basically when I saw this, I believe I saw this as a kid, but it when I watched it, it was completely fresh. I mean, I knew of the movie, but I didn't remember much about it, because when I was a kid, I don't remember the previews for it, but I do remember it was in my comic books like crazy. It was advertised
Yes.
all that, and I vaguely recall playing the Atari game, where basically just basically was going. It had the same music as like our same sounds as Combax. I mean that type of sounds, but it was basically you were just skirting in the desert, shooting at things, and there's like fuel tanks there, and then you would morph from the motorcycle into like the flying plane sort of thing, which I guess would fit with what happens with the motorcycle at the end of the movie, but. Yeah, so I didn't see this or remember it, to be honest. And I don't think I saw this in the theaters. But I always remember the cover and the font, the way the font was, and I always remember the video being pretty popular in the video store.
Okay,
But
you might be
I did have
right.
some of the
You might be
Vanguard stars.
right, Alfred. I might have been wrong, but I thought I heard him say the end. Maybe the caption was wrong or something.
It would be a big Mandela effect for me if that happened.
But I because it did say the end at the end, so but I was looking at like YouTube things and quotes from the movie, and it does say in the 80s, so it's not just the trailer. I don't think it's the which is kind of funny that they actually put it into the movie. Even though they really didn't need to, I guess. I mean, it's a great line, but anyway, go ahead.
I have some of the Matchbox cars too. Joe's mentioning the Atari game. They had several Matchbox cars. I have them somewhere, but they were pretty fun. That one of the dune buggies had like this like laser gun that would come up and down like it did in the movie, and they had a command vehicle. But speaking of banter, I really like the banter between Michael Beck and Barry Bostwick. They had a good thing going, kind of the buddy. Blue movie type stuff, like when you love them in red and you love them blue, but once you love them, you love them red. That's stupid. Who said that? He goes, you did, but very wise.
That was brilliant. Or yeah, very wise. I think that's why he said it.
Was the weirdest like scene to me. I don't know. Like when I saw it, I was like, wait, what? Like, because when he said it,
Go
what?
ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, when he said it, it was very confusing. And then he was like, well, that's very stupid. Who would say that? And then I'm like, and then it was him, and then he's just like, yeah, it was a very wise thing to say, or whatever. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, like,
These days, you can't be stupid.
I
Was that
guess,
any
yeah.
stranger than like a minute later when the guy's doing the crossword puzzle or something, and the guy's throwing the knife at him, and they flip it, they're flipping it back and forth at each other. I was like, what the heck is this? And then like a few seconds later, they're getting ready to go get launched out of the plane, and he's like, it's Lancaster for the actor. Or the 9-letter actor, because the one guy was like Brando and trying to say other stuff, and then it sort of it reminded me. Well, I guess this movie was done afterwards. It reminded me in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when the little kid was like he makes the comment that, he finally gets the joke at the end of the movie, and they laugh at it and stuff like that. But it's like if you think about it, it's sort of a payoff from an earlier part of the film. So.
Yeah,
But
I dug that. That was sort of goofy. There was the characters were all a little wacky, or whatever. And I think that was the point, was this was like a ragtag group of like people who wouldn't normally be together. They wouldn't normally mix together, but because they have this common, group, Megaforce, they're put together. And now they're just living it up. Like the one dude's doing the Rubik's Cube and can't figure it out, and one guy could just do it in like 10 seconds, I guess, or whatever. It's just all a weird group.
Well, I remember that as a kid, and it's like that there was the one person that could always solve the Rubik's Cube in no time. And it's like when I saw that in there, I was like, "Yep." When the other couple of them couldn't get it, I was like, one of these is going to be a wise guy and get it right away. And it's like, how do you do that? And it's just because it just clicks in their mind. I'd be the one that want to take the thing apart to put it back together and get it right. So it's like I don't know. I mean, I guess you weren't. Moody, you weren't really with Rubik's cubes. I mean, I think you were a little bit older before they so they're like sort of nostalgic. It wasn't first run released to you.
Oh, it wasn't a first run or anything, but we did have Rubik's cubes. I never played with them. I didn't care. Like, and I still don't care. If you can solve a Rubik's cube, awesome for you. What does that mean, really? That just means you know how to do it. You know the trick. You know, it's kind of like magic. I never got into magic. If I see somebody do magic, that's great, but I'm not like I don't need to know how they did it or whatever. You know, I can just watch somebody else do it and enjoy it. But yeah, so I never got into Rubik's cubes. But I like that scene. I knew, yeah, just like you, I knew somebody was going to be able to do it when the other two guys could figure it out. You know, that guy was going to do it and he's going to do it like no time, you know, and be like, they'd be like, show off, you know, or whatever. But like, you know, it's just a, I don't know, like some people just know how to do it. And once you know how to do it, you know how to do it, you know, like it won't be, it's kind of like riding a bike, I think. You know, once you
Once
know how
you see
to.
those 3D pictures in the mall, you can see all of them. It took a long time for me to get my eyes crossed enough to do it.
Oh yeah, did you do those like things, the mall, what is it, the posters, the
I
3D
sucked because I
posters?
could never get them. Everyone else said, "Oh, cool." I said, "Oh, cool. What is this?" I don't see nothing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Mallrats now with that scene in Mallrats. It's a bunny, or
Or
what does he
it's a
say? It's a bunny.
sailboat.
It's a
Sailboat.
sailboat. He's like, you see it too?
Damn it. You
Darn
know,
it, man.
what the other line is like, you know, it's a schooner. It's not a schooner, it's a sailboat, you know,
He
dumbass.
sends that one kid off crying.
And yeah.
Good stuff.
Well,
Speaking of we haven't mentioned Henry Silva yet.
we
Who
have
plays the
not
main
played
bad guy?
Guerrera. Guerrera. Which
What a great villain.
is it Carrera, like more of a
Or is it
I
just
don't know.
Guerra?
Or Guerra?
Guetta. It's
Guerra?
probably Guetta when you have to roll the R's or something like that, which I'm not good at rolling the R's in Spanish. I made that clear on day one of Spanish 101. I was like, yeah, rolling R's is not my specialty, but I think it's a rolled R name.
Yeah,
But
he made his debut in him. I think his first movie was The Manchurian Candidate. I think that
the
was one of
Frank
his first.
Sinatra one, right? Definitely not the Denzel Washington
No.
Manchurian Candidate. That's
Yeah,
much years
unless he's working
later.
time backwards.
I know.
Right.
Yeah, his
Manchurian
first
time.
one is in the future. Then he goes back in the past. That would be an interesting idea for a movie, as an actor who gets his start somewhere and then goes back in time and then starts acting in other movies and showing up and
Right.
everything.
But he was also in Buck Rogers. He had played Killer Kane in Buck Rogers before the other guy took over. He
I enjoyed
played
that show, yeah.
Yeah. I never
he
watched it
played
though. Like
in
I know of it. I just never watched it. Never.
you never watched it, Aaron? No.
No. I was never into Buck Rogers. Now
Well, you were what? How old were you when it came out? Like, I'm trying to think when that came out.
two
Wasn't that the? Yeah, I was like
four.
early to mid 80s, probably. So,
Yeah, I was
yeah.
probably like two or three. I mean, but like even then, you know, things go on reruns and all that stuff. And I'm just it. When I, like I said, like I'm a different like generation as you guys. You guys are Gen X. You know, I'm here. I'm a millennial. So like all my yeah, you're an X, and I'm a millennial, and I'm cool with that. Like I actually like, you know, because I like having shows like this. Or Paul doesn't want to admit it, but he's very close to being a boomer, I think. He's stretching that line. He's getting older, like he's old, like all that. He hates the boomers, but you know, kind of thing. But but I'm a millennial. Like I've been, was it? I was a millennial like a year into it or whatever. and stuff. So I actually love, I love being that because the different stuff like that I watched completely different than what you guys enjoyed, And I did enjoy a lot of the stuff you guys enjoyed because a lot of the 80s movies and 70s movies that you guys talk about are just stuff that anybody can watch these days and relate to,
They're not exactly timeless either because they're very fixed in where they're at. I mean, they can make some movies that you can watch that was made in the 40s and it's still relevant. Like today, you don't even think of it differently. But like these are just, it's in the 80s, it's in the early 80s, the mid 80s, or late 80s. Like the Letterman was talking about the clothes and like Predator 2 and stuff. How they had all these like weird cuts to them and stuff. And it's kind of like the late 80s with the big shoulder pads and big shoulders and Henry Hill also played a villain in one of the Steven Seagal movies. You know, he's the one who got his arm bent backwards. Like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, one of the I hesitate to say good Steven Seagal, but there was a few good Steven Seagal films, especially the ones in the early the mid
Under
'90s.
Siege was good,
Well, Die Hard on a boat, but yeah.
Battleship.
But yeah, that's about that. I think that's about the point. Under Siege was probably about the end of. Well, he had a few others around that time period. Hard to Kill, Above the Law. They were all sort of in the same vein. Under Siege was a little bit different.
The best one I thought he was in was the one where Kurt Russell was the president.
Oh, that's his best performance.
Yeah. I said, he died. That's what he said, too. You
He's in
know
it for
him.
like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like executive decision. Is that what it was?
Yeah, executive
Executive
decision.
decision, yeah.
Yeah, that was to me, that was probably his best single performance.
Everybody, all my friends, I thought the same thing. He was getting very irritating then.
I was laughing because like Steven Seagal was on a TV show, like this travel TV show where this father and son go traveling and everything. And then the guy got really excited to see Steven Seagal in the hotel. So he goes up and talks to him and goes, my daddy would be so happy to like see you. And he goes, you still call your dad daddy? And I was like, he's such a jerk. Like he's such an asshole. But he like pushes the guy into the pond and stuff, and like such a dick in that. And I was just like, "That's awesome! Like that's just the Steven Seagal living his life, just doing his thing. Don't bother him when he's on vacation."
Yeah, the thing with Seagal, it's just his fighting style and all. It was like he would never really take it. It's just he was always one-upping everything, and he could never really be humbled in his movies, it didn't seem. And that's why it's kind of a bummer that, I mean, I would have loved to see him been humbled and done some stuff with like how like Van Damme and Lundgren did a lot of stuff together, or they overlap with Stallone or something like that. But yeah, I
Yeah,
guess it's
he
not
wasn't even in the
Seagal, though.
Expendables though, right? Like, nobody
Yeah,
even
because
wanted
I
him in
could.
that, right?
Yeah,
Really,
you
I
just
didn't
couldn't. It,
know that. I knew he was
yeah,
missing
he.
from it.
You, where was that, Ralph, Alfred?
What? I knew he was missing from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's. I don't think he was ever asked, or if he was asked, he probably wanted to have more say or something like that in it.
Yeah, he'd want to be the lead, like take Sylvester Stallone's part, I bet. I don't see him as being like back in the executive decision days, he was second banana to Kurt Russell, but he was
That's
a
it.
villain though. That's the thing. You kind of expect to be the second person there,
Well, he wasn't a villain in the executive
No, he
decision,
was
if I
just
remember
part of that
correctly.
restaurant, the
Didn't
mustard.
he sacrifice himself for
Oh,
the
shit.
sheet?
That's right. I thought he was
It
the
was a
villain.
stealth plane that carried like Special Forces troops to get on, like John Leguizamo and them to get on the plane.
Yeah, so
No.
it's but what I wish he would have done something like in one of the Expendables, sort of like what Van Damme did, where he came in,
Yeah.
did one film and was a bad guy, and that was it. It was one fell swoop, but I guess that ship sailed now.
Maybe it
Yeah.
has, maybe it hasn't. They're still doing
Well,
Expendables movies.
unfortunately, and I love Expendables, but that last one was it was hard to watch.
It
And
was.
that's unfortunate because I really liked the people that was involved in it too. It just
Yeah,
to
me
me it just
too.
didn't work. But and yeah, because it's I mean I like Statham and I like Stallone and but yeah, it just unfortunately didn't work for me. But you never know. They might do something. But I mean I know Stallone's getting whoo,
Yeah.
he's pushing
That
80 now.
Well, he's also
Yeah.
getting a lot of heat. Did you hear about what happened to him?
What?
I heard
So,
he yelled some
well, not
cat
yell.
or
He didn't yell, but what he did was he like talked trash about some background people, apparently. But like the whole situation was on the set of his TV show, the mob show that he does or whatever.
Oh, Tulsa King, yeah.
Tulsa King. He was there was supposed to be young people at this club, and the casting people put like older people and everything, and people that wouldn't look good inside a club, you know, into the background. And he got him and the director were like making remarks about the people, like, look at that, you know, I don't even want to say it, but it's just like some nasty remarks about the people's weight and look and everything. And they were upset that there wasn't good looking people and there wasn't skinny people in the thing and stuff. And
Beautiful people, the beautiful
yeah,
people.
I know. Like that's what
Well,
apparently what they wanted.
and I mean, I don't know the truth to, I mean, I know that's what's coming out and stuff like that. So, but the general comment that I would say is it's just on sets and stuff like that. There's no need for that. It's just like, I mean, everybody's, I mean, especially with the extras and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of them are getting like scale, if that, if anything. And it's about making a production and stuff like that. And if somebody's going to be so just about strictly about appearance, and I mean, I know that is from a different time than now. So anybody who does that, so.
And it really disappoints me because there's a whole thing in the Expendables like DVD where or Blu-ray or whatever it was, where he's discussing in a behind the scenes how he was, you know, they brought like food, like pizza or something back for catering for his first movie that he was ever in. And then this AD goes, don't give it to that guy. He's only going to be here for an extra hour and that's it. Right. And he goes, well, fuck you. You know, why don't I get any pizza? You know, like why, you
Wow.
know, why are you like that? And so he said, like, everybody gets, and he was cheeseburgers. He was like, everybody on my set gets a cheeseburger, you know, now. And I'm like, see, that's a nice kind of thing. So to hear that he allegedly, because I
Yeah.
don't, there's no tapes or anything like that, said these nasty things or whatever really hurts my heart to hear. But
Yeah.
I don't know for a fact, you know,
Yeah, that's
sometimes
where we
things are
say.
just stir up,
Yeah,
you know.
because the allegedly, yeah, because it's like, I mean, the whole innocent until proven guilty, but the reality is that happens by people on sets, regardless of if it's a name or not a name. I mean, Stallone, on the other side, I mean, he gave such a moving tribute when Carl Weathers passed away. So it's like, I think Stallone's got a lot of good graces over the year too. So it's like, but from what we've heard on sets, just in general, and being on sets, I mean, I know that I'm never in one of those degrading situations on a set. I've never been part of that, 'cause that would just not fly with me. I mean, if I had
No,
any
and
say in the situation.
come on, we're all in the Echo Lake stuff. Did anybody on the set treat anybody like that? I don't think so, you know.
No, it was. I mean, there's different personalities, but different personalities is not being disrespectful. I
None of
mean,
nobody was
so
disrespectful
yeah.
to
So
any of the movies, you
yeah,
know,
and that's
that
what
we
I
worked
always
on.
try to strive to have, because especially on our stuff, because I mean that's more of an independent production, to where it's minimal to no budget, to where it's like a lot of these people are just being generous
Are
to help.
volunteers, you know, they could walk
Yeah,
off at any time.
so.
So you want to, I mean, I hate to say it, but you want to kiss their ass because,
Yeah.
you know, treat them well, give them lots of good food. You know, if they're not
Yeah.
getting paid, they
And
better get fucking food, you know.
that's just decency.
Yeah.
Have you all seen the show The Extras with Ricky Gervais? It's on BBC, part of the Prime package with Verizon. It's really good. It's about him being an extra.
I
I'd
know
be
of it.
interested.
I've never seen it.
Pretty funny. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I gotta check it out at some point. I like Ricky, but his humor is the same, you know, as Ricky being Ricky. So after a while, it kind of becomes like the same thing over and over again. So it
No
kind
more Ricky, my wiki.
of. All right,
Yeah,
let's get
so
back to the movie we're
yeah,
talking about here.
I was getting ready to say let's bring it back to Megaforce. It'd be interesting that, and I don't know, Alfred, you might be able to help us on this because you have a little bit more history with this film. Is Do you own it on DVD or Blu-ray? I don't even know if it's a Blu-ray of it, but
DVD.
do you own? Because you own a DVD.
I own a Blu-ray of it from
Okay.
somewhere.
Oh, you said you have a Blu-ray of it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be interested to know, like, is there any behind the scenes making of? And I know they had some outtakes at the end and stuff like that, but is there? And that's Hal Needham. I think he
I
does
think
that
there
from
is, and I
time to
think there's
time.
commentary on it too.
Okay.
I gotta
Yeah,
find it though. I don't know where it is.
because I and I know that those are prepackaged to a degree, the behind the scenes and stuff like that. But it's always interesting to see stuff, especially when it's so far removed time wise, to
Yeah.
how some of the production, even if it's just stills and stuff like that on the sets and stuff like that. It's always cool to see some of the behind the scenes, especially on movies that, like, for you, for this one, it has a special place for you.
All the cars were they were real. There were no models and stuff. I'm sure they had models for some scenes, but all the 20 dune buggies, and he had, the guy cost $1 million to make all those.
Yeah.
And so those
Well,
are real
that's Hal
vehicles.
Needham's, yeah, and that's Hal Needham's style to have that. I think he likes doing those sort of things with just on the sets. And so, I mean, the big chase in the middle of the desert, it kind of reminded me of one of the chases in Smokey and the Bandit, where they put
Yeah.
everybody in the big long lines and they had the big to-dos and stuff like that. So this was right in his wheelhouse. I think the genesis of this movie, to me, it seems like it was just like he just wanted to get people together and blow a lot of stuff up and make a lot of explosions and fast driving stuff that would cause chaos.
Yeah. And
That seems.
he was using, I mean, I like using, as the discussion goes, green screen or, or what is it called? The real effects, the real deal.
Well, yeah, they said something about the IntroVision was like, this was one of the first films to do that. So, I know that some of the green screen, especially at the end, was a little rough, but introducing a new technology or being one of the early ones into a technology is always something too. But yeah, that last scene when the motorcycle takes off and stuff like that, I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks it looks so dated, because I mean, because we're what we're so used to now is it of there being a flow of
And you can tell
almost
it's almost like
too,
a, it's like a, it's the same scene looping, the same terrain looping.
Yeah, I know, right?
A lot of it was green screen, and I want to say, like, that scene that's in my background with the them falling out in the sky and doing the stuff. I mean, I have this feeling that that was green screen too. Like, that
The
almost seemed
closest
like.
on them are green screen, but I think those are real. Those two people right there are probably real, but
Like real stunt people probably
they
flying
were there maybe
around.
green screen.
But yeah, they did a great job, like, coming together and grabbing each other's, arms and things like that, and doing all that. So I thought that was the cutest scene. But I was just thinking about it. Michael Beck is up there with them at that time, but he doesn't jump out. Was he just like letting them go out, like,
I
and
think so.
like have their little moment to get? Was he
Yeah.
would you consider, like, Dallas his wingman?
Yeah.
No pun intended,
His
or maybe it was.
wing. Yeah, I
Yeah.
know, right?
Because he let him go out there and have his little kind of romantic
Oh.
scene together with her, which I thought was really sweet.
I think you said early on in the movie that none of them had rank, except, they were going to seem as a commander, everyone else was kind of equal.
Everybody was
I don't
sort of
think.
equal, yeah.
Except for Ace was the leader.
Ace was, I mean, nobody can dispute that Ace was the one in charge, but, like, I still think he would listen to everybody if anybody had something to say or was disputing him. Just nobody disputed him because, I mean, he was always right, I guess, which kind of makes him sort of in my opinion, sort of a boring character, because, like, if you're always the winner, basically, there's no real, like, it's not as exciting as, like, I was kind of hoping that the guys would get, like, captured and, like, like in the Stripes, where they get captured and they, like, taken, you know, and then the people have to go in there and save them or whatever. Like, I was hoping something like that would happen, you know, or whatever. But I don't know, it was still kind of cool, like just the, you know, all the explosions, all the cool
Yeah.
tools and different stuff that they had.
And the actual scene where they did the assault on the town and then the fight on the dry lake bed were just really cool. I like that.
Yeah, so looking at the rating and a lot of the reviews, I know this has got a very polarizing take, if you will. The critics, I mean, destroyed it. It seems like it has a very cult following, if you will, I think. And I think for me personally, there was some things I really liked about it. I think if I would have seen it as a kid, I'm sure I did, and I would have seen it regularly over time, it would probably be in one of those guilty pleasure type of movies. When I was watching it here, there was some things I was like, what am I? There were some parts in it that was just a little dry to me. I mean, they did have the I was like, okay, it's going to get to the next thing where they're going to have all sorts of explosions or something like that. And I think that's what the big thing was. It was, let's see how much stuff we can blow up, how many cars fast we can drive, how many different color smoke can come out of motorcycles. Let's wrap it around a little bit of a story and just and then some wisecracking, if you will.
The wisecracking and banter, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, the
Yeah, so it was.
wisecracking banner was fun.
So I think this is one of those movies that I would have more appreciation if it would have been part of my throughout my life to seen it, because this, like I said, when I watched it this time, it felt brand new to me. I didn't remember anything.
Last time
I
I
was like,
watched this,
okay,
believe it or not, was I found an old VHS of it like 20 years ago when I moved into the house. But I just knew the movie so much because I've seen it so many times growing up
Yeah.
that like about I felt because and before that, who knows? But I remember when I was on HBO in the 80s, that was why every time I was on, I probably was watching.
I was getting ready to ask you. I was like, was this part of the 20 films on HBO that was always one of them was
Yeah,
always on every other night or
I
something?
think so. Yeah,
Probably late at night would be my guess. Like, you know, let's
this is
watch
a
some Mega Force, you know.
that is like a G-rated movie.
Yeah. It was G-rated, and I mean it
Well, this was PG, I'm sure, right?
Oh, I
You
don't
know,
know.
this
Well,
is definitely.
it can't be G because it has explosions, so there's danger. So I think it'd have to be PG. It was 82, so it wouldn't have been. There was no
It
PG-13. There was no 13 at that point. So, and I don't think this hit R
No,
unless they had some
you're right.
magic
Yeah.
words that I missed.
It was funny because the girl, if this would not be made the same way today. Because that girl would have to be part of Megaforce, you know, now if it were made today. Because back then, the way he explains it to her, basically saying, like, look, I would love for it has nothing to do with you being a woman, because she does bring that up. It has something to do with me being a woman. And he's like, no, it's you being an outsider. You know, nobody's going to be okay with you because they're not going to believe. Whatever, because you're an outsider, like they're not going to trust you. It could be anybody that comes into the group. Now all of a sudden there's somebody new and they don't trust them. And so I was like, and she accepted that very well without pouting or throwing up a fight or you know
Going out there
causing
anyway.
yeah or any issue that normally could have been brought up in the 80s, you know, right? And everything, and it was done very respectfully. And then yet they also fell in love, and they were going to meet each other at the hotel, apparently, you know, or whatever, you know. So, which we never see. Freaking
Nope.
mad about. I wanted to see them meet up at the hotel, you know, at the end of the movie, but instead we get the thumbs up, though.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kiss the thumb, sort of. Was that just their little thing between them two, or was it to everybody? Like, is that saying goodbye, or?
Well, I
Or
think
was that a romantic
Mr.
comment
Country is saying
between the two?
goodbye. I know that's what they did when they were going to put that in a mass Lord of Illusions when the guy bit his thumb. She put the blood on the mix's face mask. No,
Don't think that was that, but I
but
oh, you always kind of think of that when you see.
Oh.
No, I don't know. I think it the kissing of the thumb and everything was just just them. It was a sweet thing to them. But then at the end, it was a thing to say goodbye to the audience, and everything. So it was, which was really cool. Like, it was a cool way to say goodbye, I don't know. Like, I didn't dig it as much as Alfred digs it, and I don't think I dig it as much as Joe dug it. But I think Joe's right. I think if this had been part of my childhood, the funny thing is I didn't grow up on Rambo. I saw Rambo. I would sneak watch Rambo on TV every now and then, but that was all the stuff, the fun stuff was cut out or whatever, So it wasn't that it was on like USA or whatever. And I bet Megaforce could have been on USA too,
Well, I think you and I are probably on the same page with it, Moody. I think in general, it's a movie that I, like I said, I remember pieces of stuff from like the advertisements and stuff like that, and I still in some of the old comics, it's still there. It's like it was for years there was that, and then there was Orca one for a number of years too. That was
Orca. I
stuff. It
loved
was
Orca.
yeah, but they it was always the back cover inside those comic books. It was just like so I remember that, and then Atari was just, I mean, I played everything on Atari, and there
Wait,
was
was
so,
Megaforce on Atari?
yeah, they had an Atari game, Megaforce.
Oh, was that based on the.
Yeah. Yeah,
Wow.
based on the movie. That's what I was talking about earlier with the sequencing. It was like it played the combat music, and it would like you would be like shooting down at stuff, and it was I mean, a lot of the games back then, it was kind of the same thing. But then they tweak it a little bit to make it its own unique type of thing. But yeah, it was just basically a combat Space Invaders type of scroll thing to where you just shot up and down at different things. But yeah, it's based on the movie. Or the movie, the game was based after the movie, probably. It was one of the earlier movie adaptions for a game.
That's
And they probably just took
awesome.
a, like you said, they probably took a combat game or something and just get reskinned and just put a different label, put it in a different box.
I
Yeah,
gotta see.
exactly. Just have a few different backgrounds. There are YouTube clips on the game, like you could
That's
like
what I'm gonna
watch.
look up right now, Megaforce Atari
Yeah,
clips.
on the 2600. Yeah, so it
Speaking
was.
of special effects and YouTube and everything, when we wrap it up, we're talking about it because huge tank fight and he takes his motorcycle and he stops and he knocks down the tank. He says his famous words, and then he gets on the bike. I don't know if he did some of the lighter. Do they get switch the lighters back or something? In the movie, once they switch the lighters in a couple of scenes, I
Yeah,
can't remember.
there's some sort of lighter switch. Well, because at the end he the villain pulls the lighter out and looks at it fondly. So, and once he knows he was beat too. So,
And
yeah.
then
So,
why don't you talk? So Barry Bostwick's out there. Everyone's going, and Michael Beck says, "Come on, baby, come on, we can't wait." And then the plane takes off, and this is some pretty cool scenes. But then he's like, the wings start coming out of the side of the motorcycle, and he's like, "What is happening now?" And then all of a sudden, he launches it into the sky, and like you're saying, the Inclusitron, whatever it is for the ground, and it was really hokey. But they had some scenes in the trailer, like him spinning around. I was like, I don't remember that, but it wasn't in the movie. But and then
Oh,
he
well,
comes in and
they
comes.
had the one where he went upside down, and I was like, how's he staying on the bike? I was like, he's not like seat belted
Hair wasn't moving, so he had a lot of hairspray in it, probably. A lot of the bike
Well,
stuff was obviously green screened and everything
yeah.
because it looked so silly and goofy. I was talking to John Ward about this. I told him I watched it, and I told him I wasn't the biggest mega fan, of it, but I did enjoy parts of it and whatnot, and a lot, whatever.
I don't like to have him on the show.
And so John actually told me that his thoughts on it were that he loved it because of how bad it was, how cheesy it is, like, and the stuff with the being on the bike and everything just looked awful, but was fun.
And that's why I say that it has a cult following, and it's like one of those guilty pleasure, guilty watch. And I mean, everybody has them for whatever. I mean, I have mine just like anybody else, and this one, I think Needham probably was inspired One was some of the, he just the stunt cars and stuff like that with all the Smokey and the Bandit and Cannonball Run, that type of stuff. And then with how Road Warrior and Mad Max and stuff like that was, so it's like putting some of that, those different types of vehicles into play, and then having sort of,
Uh-oh.
go froze.
Yeah,
After each other,
Joe.
at each other.
Sorry, Joe, you froze for a second.
Oh,
So,
okay.
but what were you
Well,
saying?
it was. I was just saying, hey, there was like Mad Max references, or feel with some of the cars and motorcycles and the racing and fighting and stuff like that. And then there's the two countries battling it out. That just it just it had a early 80s feel to it, probably, given the culture that it was in.
And between the 80s, I love the soundtrack. The movie, the music, I really enjoyed. But in the beginning, you kind of see the whole end battle in the beginning when they do the opening credits. You see the end. You don't know it at the time, but
So Moody, this is the movie. This movie, you are a product of this movie's time.
I know.
This
Well,
is
it's
the
funny
culture that
because
was making this movie.
I know, and I was kind of thinking about it. So I have like, so we did the 80s, whole 80s season, right? Did the whole 80s stuff, and then so I wanted to switch it up and do like my 90, kind of got my 90s stuff coming up here. But it looks like Alfred's still like that's still his favorite year, your favorite decade. So he's bringing that in.
Before,
I don't I'm excited to see what other movies, if some of them are 80s or others. Joe, I feel like you're going to be in the mix, maybe. You might be.
yeah, I know two of the ones I'm doing this season. They're coming up. They're 80s, so these will be some more 80s. But then they're I can definitely go into the 70s and 60s for some, or even before, to be honest. But maybe
Yeah,
a
we
90s.
haven't. Have we even done 70s and under yet?
No, I don't think
Not
so. I don't think
on
so.
here. Outside of maybe like if we've done anything like Jaws or Halloween
Those were for
or
film
Star Wars.
freaks, you know.
Yeah,
Yeah, we didn't
so I
even do
mean,
that for a year yet.
yeah. So there's a number of films in the 70s that I could get into that it
Me
might be
too.
next season. Yeah, so it's but I already know that two of the ones for later for this season, including the one for the next episode,
We're only going to
it's
that now
definitely
because we're
80s.
getting close to the end. I think we're about to wrap it up here. So why don't you go ahead and any last thoughts, and then I think we just had last thoughts, and we can go into
Well,
your.
sort of had last thoughts. I mean, I mean, Alfred, real quick, so this was your pick and everything. This is your, movie that you watch over and over again.
No, I didn't say that.
You didn't say that. Okay.
When I
I
was
thought you did.
a kid, I watched it over and
Yeah, that's
over.
what I mean. That's what I'm saying. You've seen it over and over again.
And
Yeah,
now
it's
I haven't
not.
seen it. Yeah, no, okay.
Do you think, well, do you think it would still hold up to you?
It does, but I don't have to watch it. If I could watch it every day, it'd be like, But I would.
Okay.
I really like it, but it's one I can't watch all the time now because I know exactly what's going to happen. And sometimes
Yeah.
you need a break, so you get the little breaks in there. But I liked it. It was a decent movie. It was a product of the 80s, and which I was, and it has some cool meaning to me. I mean, one of my Pinewood Derby cars was based on that car from the movie, and fun cast. And I remember at the end, he blows up Edward Mulhare's, luxury helicopter with a bar and everything at the end, and for no whatever reason, I don't know, but and then it's
It's
happy ending.
because
Ever.
that's what they wanted to do. They just wanted to blow stuff up,
Yeah.
and it was another explosion was something that they could add to the screw to the for another 30 seconds or 15 seconds.
It's a good movie to just turn your brain off and do a chore or something, while have it on in the background. And, oh yeah, I remember this part. And so before I saw it, and it wasn't available hardly anywhere on VHS or DVD for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I saw it about in 2004, and when I moved into this house, watching it on VHS. And then it was about 15, 20 years later, I found it on DVD somewhere. So I watched it then, and I had to rent it today because can't find my DVD, which is somewhere around the house. But yeah,
Well,
last thought, entertaining and kind of maybe dated, but Definitely dates in the time period. It gives a good carbon dating of the 80s and a feel for it.
There you go. And I think Moody, you had to do the same thing I did. And, yeah, I guess Alfred as well, because I looked around for DVDs at like thrift shop like I always do, and never come across and don't own it. So yeah, it was a online rental for me,
Yeah, it's
as
definitely a
well.
movie that deserves like a good Blu-ray treatment, like a good one, like Shout Factory or I want to say like Arrow, doing so that they can put out like commentary and documentary about the making of it or whatever, so people can see that.
Yeah, unless maybe there is something which none of us are aware of, I
I
guess,
looked it up on eBay and there is one for like $30 that seems whatever, and the other ones are like ones from like Germany or like Australia or some shit, and I wouldn't buy from them, but because I wouldn't be so sure if it's a all region or region B or something. But yeah, I would love to own, like, I mean, even though this isn't the movie that I would pick, even if I'd seen it now. It's a movie that I think I'm very glad I watched because it is a product of its time, and it is sort of like the precursor to stuff like the A-Team and other shows and movies that kind of took after this, that were like, let's get a team of superheroes together in a way, or whatever, So this is the Avengers before Avengers, and everything. And G.I. Joe, I think G.I. Joe did steal a lot of stuff from this, So, Ace Hunter is Duke, So I loved it. I thought it was a movie of its time, and I'm very glad I watched it.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. What about you, Joe?
There's things I take out of it. Yeah, I've always wanted to see it because the box always caught my attention and stuff like that. And from what I remember, like I said, what I remember as a childhood playing the game and all. Some things I take away from it that I enjoyed overall. It probably wasn't necessarily my cup of tea, but I think that it's one of those movies that if it did catch me as a kid, like some of the other ones did, it'd be in the same bucket. And that be it'd be one of those things that you could just get a good laugh at and or whatever and move on from it and stuff like that. It's just being removed from that and not being in on the joke, I guess, all those years, it doesn't quite hit that spot for me. But there are some things in it that I could see where the director, Hal Needham, is how he was he, where he got his Smokey and the Bandit stuff from, because we use some of that in this. But
Yeah,
yeah,
it
so.
was
So,
fun. Like,
yeah.
I'd watch it again, but probably not like tomorrow.
No.
Alfred says there are some movies I could probably watch over and over again, even though I know every single line. Like Billy Madison, I know every single line of that movie, but I can watch it over and over and over again. But it has to have some comfort for me, and I don't know, things just blowing up all the time. I just have to be in the mood for that, Like I never grew up on action like that, so it doesn't have that same thing for me. But anyway, so now that we're sort of at that time period, Joe, we're doing next is Joe's movie, in was it ne next month, and what do you do can you tell everybody what we're going to be doing?
Sure, I don't have the exact year that it was made. I think it was 1983. I believe so. The classic War Games.
War Games, yes. So yeah, and I told you, I think I told you when you told me that I was like, Alfred's gonna enjoy that one, because so yeah, man, thank you. That's awesome.
I don't even have to say anything else. I just had the classic War Game. And it's just there's so much that all three of us can and can go into on that one. And if you hear anybody else who wants to join in on it, that's great too. But I think the three of us are going to have a lot to say about this one.
I think.
Being Cold War babies too is a lot of impact on us that might not happen to other people.
Right.
Yep.
And it's on
Yeah, so.
Max apparently, so I can, it's on HBO Max, so
Oh,
it'll
you
be
don't own it?
easier.
Own it?
I don't own it yet. I mean, it's
Well, we'll get
I
into
think
that next time.
I probably have it on DVD somewhere, in my huge DVD collection that you saw at the studio, so maybe it's part of the stuff we have to fucking move on Sunday. I don't know. I have
I
to
know, right?
get with you about that later. But it's one of those things where I own it somewhere, I think, but not on Blu-ray yet. And
Yeah, so.
I think I'm waiting for 4K if there's not one already. So,
Oh, that'd be a great one to have on 4K. I
no.
don't think I think
I
I have
think
it, might have it on blue.
it's funny because I do this thing on Blu-ray Hunter where every month I'll do like my top 10 4Ks that are coming out the next month. And what I've started to realize is the Paramount and those companies are really trying to put out their like old stuff onto 4K now. They're
Well,
doing their hardest.
4K is not going to be probably going to get rid of disc pretty soon, probably 5 years, 10 years, and probably
I
go
hope
to
not. Like, give it freaking
cloud.
20 years, man.
Yeah.
Like,
Well,
nah, it's not gonna happen, but.
isn't a couple of the studios outsourcing their libraries to some of these boutique vendors like the
Sometimes.
Kino and all the Kino and stuff like that? And maybe that's what it's going to take to get some of these movies that really should have the restoration and the
That's why I said
4K.
Megaforce would be perfect for that.
Yeah.
I think
Yes.
War Games, whoever put that out, either it be Paramount
I think
or
it's MGM, if I'm not
MGM.
mistaken.
If MGM's still doing stuff, I don't even know if they're still doing stuff or whatever, but if they still
They are.
are,
It's
maybe they'll.
part of Amazon, I think now.
Oh,
But
okay. All right.
yeah,
Well,
I think
maybe.
yeah. We'll get into that on the episode though.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited. That sounds like a really fun one.
Yeah.
I once again, I had a blast just watching this because I'd never
Yeah.
seen it. And from the very beginning
What?
of it, where they had like the music. By the way, the guy who composed the music to Dallas.
Well, nice.
I didn't even realize that, but I was like, this music sounds very strangely familiar kind of stuff,
Or his
And
chips too, because
yeah,
and
you think Chips?
it sounds like 'cause chips kind of has that kind of noise.
Maybe. Let me look him up. Look it up real quick. Because the
Yeah,
composer is
I'll
Gerald Immel, and he was the composer to How the West Was Won, the TV series. Dallas, Knots Landing. He did the composing for that.
Primetime
Man,
soaps.
yeah, he did a lot of primetime soap stuff. He did the Twilight Zone for one episode. What episode was that? If She Dies and Ye Gods. So I don't know. Composer for If She Dies. I don't know if
That's
you
a new
know.
Twilight Zone or the old one?
Does the 1985
Okay.
one. So then let's
I love
see.
that series, by the way.
Yeah, so he did mostly television. Knots Landing, Dallas, Gunsmoke, the television, the TV movie. Dang, Megaforce. He did four episodes of the Magical World of Disney. And a few, like he does a lot of looks like he does a lot of westerns and stuff. Oh, he was the composer of Lassie, a New Beginning movie. So I mean, and Logan's Run had a TV series.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
He did the composing for two episodes of that. So,
Cool.
and Gunsmoke. So he's a busy guy. Like he was doing stuff back in the day. But yeah, that's wonderful. All right, everybody. I think that about wraps it up, unless
It
anybody had
does.
something. Thank you guys all for joining us and checking this out. Join us next month where we're gonna be talking about War Games. And we're really excited about
Good.
that. So
Now we talk about that movie.
Yeah, I can't wait. I almost want to watch it now, but I got too much other movies to watch, right now that I'm busy. But I will watch it before we do that. So, and I'm glad it's
Great.
on HBO Max. So, and if you at home want to watch it before, just check it out on the HBO Max.
All right.
All right, everybody. Hope you guys
Right.
had a good one.
Here. All right.
Bye.
Take care, everyone. All right. Bye.
You're listening to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast. My name is Alfred and I'm an inter. Hey, welcome back to the Indie. What are we on?
Hollywood Boulevard.
Hey, this is Alfred. Welcoming you back to.
Take 25.
All right.